Like several storied soccer teams, Liverpool Football Club has been kicking around in the States this month. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to speak with a couple of the lads, as they refer to themselves, and I asked defender John Flanagan whether he was familiar with the team's owner, John Henry.
He's a good man, and met him a few times.
Signs the checks.
He signs the checks, so pays the bills.
John Flanagan characterized John Henry as a down-to-earth fellow, which would probably delight the owner of three pro sports franchises. His Fenway Sports Group controls the Boston Red Sox and Roush Fenway Racing, as well as the Liverpool Club. Henry has acknowledged that he didn't know much about soccer when he purchased Liverpool a little less than 2 years ago. But according to Billy Hogan, Liverpool's chief commercial officer, that's when the opportunity became ripe.
You know, we saw a club with tremendous global appeal, and also one where, at that particular time, was going through some difficulties. Essentially, a distressed asset, really.
The distress was being experienced not only by Tom Hicks, the American from whom John Henry acquired the club, but by Liverpool's fans, who soured on Hicks' stewardship as the club began to drown in red ink. Even in that state, according to Billy Hogan, Liverpool presented Fenway Sports Group with a golden opportunity, literally.
The Premier League is really one of the few that can say, you know, with any definitive measure that, you know, you are getting in front of literally hundreds of millions of eyeballs every weekend. There aren't that many properties that can do that on a weekly basis.
This particular magnet for eyeballs was in Boston for a friendly against AS Roma, another internationally famous team recently acquired by an American businessman, hedge fund manager James Pallotta. According to New England Sports Museum curator and sports historian Richard Johnson, Messrs. Henry and Pallotta are part of a trend.
Teams are, to the ruling class, what paintings and summer houses were years ago. So this is that new world, and I'm sure they're enjoying them because those are two great teams.
Be assured that the new owner of AS Roma, which, like Liverpool, has long been in debt, knows that 9 local morning radio shows bombard their listeners exclusively with news of the team, and that one daily paper in Rome contains nothing but discussion of what the team has done, is doing, or might do. Before the match between Roma and Liverpool on Wednesday night at Fenway Park, I asked AS Roma's chief executive officer, Mark Panis, whether those passionate Italian fans could be happy with their beloved team in the hands of an American owner.
This is clearly a meritocracy. If you win, fans are going to be happy. We believe if you win and you do it in a responsible manner, because, you know, we're caretakers for this club, and you can't own AS Roma any more than you can own the Coliseum, right? We're stewards, and at some point we'll hand that club on to the next ownership group. And when we do that, we hope we've left it in a much better position than we found it.
And no doubt that it fetches a greater price than what Mr. Panis' boss paid, because the business of sports works like any business. Sentiment and loyalty aside, which is where owners have been known to put it, you buy low and sell high if you don't want to get run over or run out. That perhaps explains why the Glazer family, owners of the Premiership's Manchester United, have been trying to reduce the team's debt of nearly £500 million with a stock offering. This week, that effort stalled for the second time. Numbers of Man U fans have publicly accused the Glazers of irresponsibility, though Man U chief executive David Gill recently praised their tenure, which began in 2005.
And what they've brought to us is that sort of stability of ownership. The decision-making's quick. They've really delivered in terms of their hopes in that area, invested heavily in the commercial team, whether it be in people, whether it be in the marketing, whether it be in the research, and the results in terms of the partners we now have are paying dividends.
Stable or rickety, the American owners of marquee teams compete with the likes of Russian Roman Abramovich, who owns Chelsea, and Sheikh Mansour of Dubai, who owns Manchester City. Each man has resources Richard Johnson characterizes as limitless. Happily for Liverpool owner John Henry, the enthusiasm inspired by his club also appears to be limitless. Before the game on Wednesday evening, the streets around Fenway Park were full of people wearing Liverpool red. In a noisy pub across the street from the ballpark-turned-soccer pitch for the night, I ran into a group of fans who'd followed Liverpool from the UK to Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand. That lot told me the jury was still out on John Henry, but Neil Hilton, also from Liverpool, approved of the team's owner.
To be fair to John Henry and the Fenway Group, they have threw money at the club, and we've bought some players for almost, you know, over £20 million. It's it's not like they haven't gave us the money. We've just made some bad signings. So hopefully they, you know, keep throwing the money and we make it right one day, hopefully.
Liverpool didn't hit it right on Wednesday evening. Roma, paced by newly acquired American Michael Bradley's goal, won the friendly 2-1. But in a press conference afterward, Liverpool's new coach, Brendan Rodgers, expressed satisfaction with his team's performance, given that lots of his regulars hadn't been available. And then, in response to a complicated question about tactics and strategy, he delivered a line with which no coach could take issue.
We want to score goals, but obviously I don't like to concede goals.
We want to score goals, but obviously I don't like to concede goals. It was nice to be reminded that it's a simple game. All that talk about debt, stewardship, wealthy oligarchs, and those hundreds of millions of eyeballs delivered, notwithstanding.
Hey! Liverpool! Liverpool! You'll never defeat a side called Liverpool. They'll always try to please the crowd. They'll always play to win. You'll see the other side retreat when Liverpool come in. So if you want to keep them running, come on, boys, and say, hip, 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 hooray! Hey!
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Tribou. Our technical director is John Parati. Our intern is Philip Kisubika. We had help this week from Ashley Lisenby and Carolyn Vick in London. Our senior producer is Gary Wallace. To see photos of the Olympics and Olympians in London or elsewhere, or to relive the encounter between Liverpool and AS Roma at Fenway Park, visit onlyagame.org. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at onlyagameradio. Our final word comes from Olympian Kayla Harrison, who's thinking about becoming a firefighter after she retires from judo.
What's more challenging than saving people's lives or waking up at 3 in the morning and putting your finger in a bullet hole? Like, sounds awesome, right?
Right. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org. This is NPR.